You're listening to Fresh FM, Fresh Start Friday with Grant, brought to you by the GB Weekly, and the time is 3 minutes. No, I haven't got my glasses on. Yes, it is 3 minutes past eight, and you're listening to us on Nelson City 107.2, Nelson Tasman District 104.8, Eastern Golden Bay on 95, and Blenheim on 88.9, or anywhere, anytime in the universe on Fresh at www.freshfm.net, or download for free the Access Internet radio app to stream us live and listen to any of the Fresh FM podcasts, which are always interesting. So, now on the line, I have, because she's over in Richmond, Lisa McGlinchey. And Lisa is the Principal Planner for Freshwater and Policy in TDC. Good morning, Lisa. Thank you for joining us so cruelly early on the show.
Morning, Grant. Thanks for having me on the show.
You know, I appreciate it a lot. Look, there's a lot happening politically around the region, around New Zealand at the moment, and one of the things we're looking at is, especially around environmental stuff, the last government started a great scheme, I thought anyway, but not everybody did, called Three Waters, and we worked towards some pretty good legislation for that. That's been put on... No, it hasn't even been put on a back burner now. It's gone, unfortunately, because I thought Te Mana o Tawai was a particularly good statement. Anyway, moving forward, there is other legislation we need to put around water and land, and I believe the council has recently passed the approval for drafting of the land and freshwater plan change. Can you tell me a little bit about it, Lisa?
Yes, certainly. So the land and freshwater plan change is something that we've been working on for some time now. It sort of started back in 2020, actually even before that, and Takakara started with the land and freshwater advisory group back in 2014, I think it was now. So it's been going for a while now. It's a pretty complex and interesting space, and you're right, there is an awful lot of change that's happened just recently, sort of, and certainly since 2020. I guess I just clarified, so the Three Waters is was legislation that was looking around management of stormwater, wastewater and water supply infrastructure, and you're quite right, that's gone through quite a significant change and is now sort of landed in the local water done well space that government's looking at now. I guess the land and freshwater plan change is under a slightly different set of legislation. That's under the Resource Management Act, and it's actually looking at changes to our rules in the Tasman Resource Management Plan around how we manage our water resources and freshwater environments and our use of water. So it's much broader than the Three Waters. It will actually affect our Three Waters management over time through resource consenting. So the land and freshwater plan change, it covers all of the freshwater parts of the Tasman Resource Management Plan. It covers rules that relate to water takes, damming, diversions, discharges of contaminants to water and land, and any activities that are going on in and around our freshwater bodies. So it's quite a comprehensive plan change. This change will also put in a supporting framework for the Water Conservation Order for Te Waikorepupu Springs and the Wharepapa Arthur Marble Aquifer in the Tarka catchment. So together the Water Conservation Order and the plan should provide us a comprehensive set of protections for the springs. But yeah, it's quite broad.
Wow, yeah, no, I didn't realise it was quite so broad and quite such a complex piece of legislation we're looking at. And how long is this going to take? It sounds like it's going to take years, but you're not planning.
So we are well advanced, yeah. In terms of the development of the plan. And that's one of the reasons that we want to sort of keep going with this plan change. So with the new coalition government, we got quite a clear message from government that they wanted councils to wait until the key piece of legislation around freshwater, which is the National Policy Statement for Freshwater, was reviewed in 2026. And when we started discussing delaying the plan change with the council to sort of, to wait for that government direction to come through, there was also some concern raised around the need to progress things to support the Water Conservation Order. but also to address some of the other priority issues we've got in Tasman for freshwater. So a couple of examples of those are managing nitrates in the Waimea Plains, which have been an issue for some time, and also looking at some of our water allocation in some of our zones, in particular the Deep Mutiri Aquifer, which this summer, just with our drought, reached record low levels. So there's a bit of concern there, so we're going to have a look at that. So Council was really keen to make sure that we were continuing to progress addressing those priority issues, as well as the water conservation order. So that's where that recent resolution has come through from Council, that they want us to continue with the land and freshwater plan change. And so staff will be looking to develop that draft to get it out to the community for feedback this year. So I think, you know, it's great that we can continue despite all the still uncertainty going forward. And we will be keeping a really close eye on the direction from central government as it comes out. But yeah, I think certainly in terms of supporting the water conservation order, we've got a clear directive as well from the order and from the Environment Court that we need to continue to support that process.
Yeah, no, that's really good. And, I mean, over here in Golden Bay, we're very happy about that. And it should make probably the rest of the country pretty happy knowing that their precious springs are going to be have an extra level of protection on it. However, I think we don't know what the new national policy statement around water will be, not for at least a couple of years. But I think it's really good to move forward and make these changes effective. So, you know, I take my hat off to you for having done all the work anyway and not letting it just kind of sit in a desk and get lost in a back drawer somewhere forever. It's going to happen. And well done. Yeah, very well done.
There's been some awesome work by the community, and it's really great to sort of be able to keep progressing that. I'm sure they all want to see something come out at the other end as well.
Well, I read the flag report, and I also read the report that Mana Whenua Ki Mohua also commissioned for it. There were a couple of good documents, particularly interesting. So you've managed to pull all this stuff together and into one, and you're putting it into one document, and there'll be you'll put it out for people to submit on, and then you'll have as a draft, and then you'll have a final document to be passed by the full council. Is that how it works?
Yes. So the feedback that we get from the community on the draft will help us sort of to develop any changes required to the sort of the final proposed version. That will have to go through sort of council approvals to get notified, which puts us into the more formal hearings and submissions process. But that's a couple of steps away. So our first step is to get the draft out for feedback, so people can see what is being proposed in each of the areas of Tasman, and yeah, what the changes will be.
And that'll be on Shape Tasman for the feedback.
Yeah, so that's our main consultation platform. We'll be putting out regular updates and media releases just to keep the community up to date, and so people can keep an eye out for when they can get involved in that process.
So it's probably too early to ask, but have you got an idea of approximately the time when this will open up for the public to read and submit on?
At this moment, we are aiming to get it through this year, but that will be subject to a council approval. So hopefully in sort of October, November. But I think if people keep an eye out on sort of their local newspapers, Shape Tasman, radio, Fresh FM. And we also actually have a email newsletter that we send out regularly, so people can actually subscribe to that to get regular updates, and they can access that through Shape Tasman. If they search for freshwater, the Freshwater Mountains to Sea page will come up, and on that is a place where they can subscribe to that newsletter. We've also got further information on our council website. There's one page for the Land and Freshwater Plan change itself, which is a good place for people to find out where the process is at and what's happening. And we've also got a separate one for the Water Conservation Order, so that provides a bit more information about the order, what it does, where it applies. So there's a map on that that website if people are interested. And people can find those pages by going onto Council's website and searching either Freshwater or WCO, and those should come up. And both of those pages also have email addresses that people can send us questions if they've got anything specific they would like to ask, and one of the Freshwater team will get back to them.
Well, with a slightly different hat on, I was well impressed with the report and presentation you gave the Community Board on the Water Conservation Order. It was good to see the progress on that, and I'm well impressed. Can you tell me a little bit more about the WCO as far as this legislation that we're looking at is going to develop into?
Yeah, so the Water Conservation Order was gazetted in September last year, and it's actually had legal effects since October. So it's already in place. It influences council's decisions on any water takes and discharges in the recharge area of the springs. So that is we call it the Wharepapa Āwhinaba Aquifer Recharge Area, or WMARA for short. And we've actually just sent out a bunch of letters to landowners in that area just so that they're aware of the Water Conservation Order and that it may affect water use and land use on their properties, and including in conjunction with the Land and Freshwater Plan. So I guess the Water Conservation Order is quite a special one. It's the first one for an aquifer in the country, and it's also the first one that's actually seeking improvement in water quality. So it sets a couple of limits for us. It sets a water allocation limit for the catchment and a minimum flow that we need to protect at the springs, and it also sets some water quality limits at the springs, and in particular seeks to improve the nitrate levels in the springs by 2038. So that provides us some really good clear direction, and then the Land and Freshwater Plan will help come through with a framework that will support that a bit further. So there's things that the Water Conservation Order can't do. It can't affect land uses directly. It can only affect discharges and water permits. So the Land and Freshwater Plan change can come through with some extra sort of belts and braces to help support what the Water Conservation Order is trying to do.
Good. And I know there's already been some movement, and we've got a group of farmers up the valley in Takaka who have actually been very proactive getting together and trying their darndest to make this work for the better of everybody. And I take my hats off to them, because that's a pretty commendable move forward. I believe that the water takes were on hold for a long time because a lot of their consents ran out. Have they been up yet, or taken on board yet, or are they still waiting for this land and water plan to move forward?
The land and freshwater plan change will influence their properties in addition to the Water Conservation Order. And you're right, they've been doing an awful lot of work for some time now, so even before the Water Conservation Order was gazetted. Certainly to have a look at what they're doing on their properties and how they can improve what they're doing to help reach that nitrate target that's been identified in the Water Conservation Order. And so we're working in conjunction with them in terms of discussing the approaches that we can take in the Land and Freshwater Plan. And I guess one of the main sort of focuses for Council has always been, firstly, that the Water Conservation Order was practically implementable. That's probably the shortest term of saying it. But also that the Land and Freshwater Plan is actually able to be practically implemented as well and actually achieve what we're seeking to achieve. So we want to make sure that, what goes in there is consistent with what farmers are actually able to do in that catchment to get change on the ground.
Yeah, so those water takes, have they been renewed?
Yes, so all of the water permits in Takaka were looked at in 2019 and 2020, and I think those were largely reviewed. We go through what's called a bona fide review process, which looks at the amount of water that's actually being used in the consent. So some of the consents may have gone down. But certainly in terms of any new water permits, that has been largely on hold until the water conservation process was completed. The allocation limit that the Water Conservation Order has set is higher than what is currently allocated in the catchment. So there is theoretically more water available now under the Water Conservation Order, but the Water Conservation Order ties the use of water and the creation of discharges, so that if an activity is going to increase the amount of nitrate, for example, in that recharge area, they wouldn't be able to get water for those uses. So it is tying very much the water quality and the water quantity. Having said that, there's nothing stopping someone coming through with an application for water quality, to use if they weren't creating those discharges in the recharge area.
Yeah, like a bottling factory or something like that.
Potentially,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I know that you have control over the land in the valley. When it goes a bit further up into one, conservation estate, and two, national park, there's two different titles, obviously, two different types of land there. Do you have much say as far as that goes within the with what you do?
Yep, so the Land and Freshwater Plan and the Tasman Resource Management Plan applies everywhere, regardless of sort of land ownership. So the Department of Conservation, who administer those areas, are still subject to the Resource Management Act and the requirements. So if they're putting in, buildings and discharges, they still need to be considering the Resource Management Act and what says in the Tasman Resource Management Plan. So it still does affect those areas. I guess they're much lower in risk in terms of the things going on in those areas. Mm. There's usually not many activities happening, and they're sort of few and far between. So it's at a completely different scale than other places in the catchment, but they're still subject to the same rules.
Yeah, no, that's good. We do know that there's talk about a rather large gold mine up in the conservation estate, and a lot of people in Takaka are a little bit shocked about it. I know it's probably too early days, really, for you to comment too much on that, but I believe it does actually work across. It doesn't take into account environmental stuff, does it? Theoretically.
So the gold mine that you're talking about is in the recharge area of the spring, so it is in that catchment area that is affected by the Water Conservation Order. What we're unclear at this stage is what impact the Fast Track Act will have on that process. So it's a bill at the moment, and the panel are hearing submissions currently. And people can see that on the New Zealand parliamentary web stream. Yep. And there is a lot of concern around that Fast Track Act and what it's trying to do. It is a little unclear at the moment what that will mean, whether that activity will seek will actually get approval to go through that process, and what it will mean. The way that the bill is written currently, we would expect council to be approached for comment on any application that goes through the Fast Track, both by those seeking to have activities put through the Fast Track, but also by the minister if they are accepted for going through the process. So we do have an opportunity to comment on those processes, but there is a lot of concern in terms of how that current bill is framed, so we're going to just have to watch that space to see what goes through the process and what changes are made to the final act.
Yeah, no, I don't think anyone likes the unknown part of it yet, because it's just time will let us know. But no, that's a good answer, thank you very much. Hey, look, I want to appreciate what you've shared today, because I think it's really important that people, not just here in Golden Bay, I know, I'm a little bit biased, but the Waimea Plains. You did mention about the aquifer over there, and nitrates. Can you just allude to that a little bit more, if possible?
Yep, so there's been a known issue with elevated nitrate levels in the groundwater under the Waimea Plains for some time now. It sort of started increasing in the 70s and 80s following a piggery in the recharge area. And we also have sort of contemporary sources in terms of the vegetable and fruit production on the plains currently. So one of the concerns with the development of the Waimea Community Dam was that the additional water made available to enable food production to continue on the plains also had the risk of intensifying land use and creating sort of exacerbating nitrate issues in terms of the aquifers there. So one of the things that this plan change will be seeking to do is to put in some controls around nutrient management on the plains and seek sort of good practice from all of the growers on the plains who might be contributing to that issue to sort of seek to reduce the nitrate levels in the aquifers over time. It will take time, so the flow through of those aquifers will affect how quickly they will lower. So it's certainly a long-term sort of solution that we're looking for, but I guess this plan change is looking to be, you know, at least a step in the right direction to get us where we need to be.
Maybe they need to do their own water conservation order for the Waimea Plains aquifer. No, and don't comment, it's all right.
it's another very complex system. Yeah. I think that's one of the, you know, one of the things that makes Tasman special is just the amount of diversity that we have across our catchments. And that's completely true for all of our freshwater catchments as well. All of our catchments are very different from each other, and it adds an extra sort of challenge and complexity to our management of these places. But yeah, I guess it's all about balancing how we're trying to use our water and land with protecting all the beautiful places in Tasman.
Yeah, well, I assume ECAN has more problems than us dealing with what's going on in Canterbury with the dairy farming. So, you know, I think we're actually probably a little bit easier on it.
I guess our problems are at a different scale and a different cause, but you're probably certainly no less complex.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Lisa, thank you for coming on the show today. I really do appreciate your time and your incredible knowledge. And maybe once this process is kind of up and running during the over the next few months, we'll have another chat if there's anything else to sort of update us about, or maybe if there isn't, then maybe at the end of the process, once it's gone through, we can talk about it then, perhaps.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
Awesome. No. And encourage people to go online and have a look at the information that's available, and please do contact us if they have any questions.
Yep, no, I'm sure they will, and I'm sure the Newsline will also share a little bit of information about it too.
Yes, yep, definitely.
Yep, no, thank you. All right, have a good day. Thank you very much.
You too, thanks very much.
All right, bye now.
Bye.
So that was Lisa Miglici from Tasman District Council, who is the principal planner for freshwater and policy.